may make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we are poor in spirit, longing for the kingdom of heaven, let your blessing be known, O Lord. Whenever there is mourning, needing comfort, let your blessing be known, O Lord. And let the meek begin to see the inheritance that shall be theirs and ours.
Let your blessing be known, O Lord.
O make us merciful, we pray,
that we may obtain mercy.
Make us pure in heart,
that we may see God.
Make us instruments of peace,
that we may be called your children.
Even when we are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is ours.
Let your blessing be known, O Lord.
When men revile, persecute, and utter evil falsely on account of Jesus Christ,
let your blessing be known, O Lord.
Give us and all who bear the cross the joy and gladness which your prophets and apostles knew, the joy of great reward awaiting us.
Let your eternal blessing give us peace. Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 53, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities, and therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, and yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. We pray. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have done.
All the while he thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God.
But because of our sins, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did.
We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by blows he received.
All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way.
But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserved.
Those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? And they answered, He deserves death. And then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Here ends the Passion narrative.
The congregation will now sing the sermon hymn, Jesus, and Shall It Ever Be, hymn number 393 in Lutheran worship, or 346 in the Lutheran hymnal.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you in Christ Jesus. Last week we heard the words of the Jewish leaders and the soldiers in the crowds as they stood before our Lord crucified and mocked him. not realizing that the things that they said to him to try to torment him and belittle him were actually the reality of who Jesus is, and even more significantly, who Jesus is for us. But those words of evil toward the Christ were not just made up on a whim. Over the years of Jesus' ministry, the Jewish leaders had become increasingly unsettled with Jesus and his message. Be it his miraculous works, or his teaching the things of God by his own authority, or his forgiving the sins of men apart from the sacrificial system and the Jewish traditions. The culmination of, for the Jewish leaders, of their confrontations with Jesus comes actually before the mocking at the cross. The battle actually between them finds its peak in the Passion text that we had today, as Jesus stands trial before the high priest and the scribes and the elders and the Jewish council there in Jerusalem. We're told in those verses just read that the council was, quote, seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. They disliked Jesus so much that here in the court of the high priest of God for his temple, we're told that the very men who are to uphold the faith in God, to bring his truth and shepherd faithfully his people, they are the ones who are trying to find false witnesses in order to convict Jesus. Such a trial reminds us of, in the Old Testament, the evil queen Jezebel. And in there, her husband, King Ahab, desired the vineyard of a neighbor named Naboth. And Naboth was refusing to sell his family's land to the king. And so Jezebel hired men to say that Naboth had uttered blasphemies against God. And as a result, he was stoned to death from that false witness. Jezebel is so infamous that even today her name is equated with evil. And yet we find that these Jewish leaders, who are to be the representatives of God, perform the same sin and toward the same purpose, toward the death of one who was blameless of all their accusations. They have come up finally with men who accused Jesus that he said that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, which isn't exactly what he said. But even then, it's not a serious claim that they have. It's not yet a blasphemy, even if the recent memory of that confrontation is still fresh in their minds. And without any substantial claim against Jesus, Caiaphas finally cuts to the chase. And he asks Jesus point blank, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus, who had remained silent throughout this sham trial, is now engaged with a real question, one that is at the heart of all he has done and all he has spoken over these years of his ministry. And Jesus replies to this. He replies by putting Caiaphas' own words back in his mouth, saying, "Well, you have said so." But then he also says something astonishing. He refers back to Daniel's vision of the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man, and says that he will come and return to judge all mankind. Jesus here has verified who he is to his enemies in a way that is unequivocal. He's not just saying that he is some earthly leader or prophet. He is saying that he is the very Son of God who has all authority and power over heaven and earth. And this is why, then, understandably, in his unbelief, the chief priest tears his robes and accuses Jesus of blasphemy for calling himself divine. And at this point, all of the leaders there also agree that he should be sentenced to death. And so Jesus is now sentenced to die for the truth. And we find, as we go forward to their mocking and jeering at the cross, that in his last words, before he dies, he calls yet for forgiveness for his persecutors. Jesus knew the truth would meet with persecution as it was confronted by a broken and sinful world. Jesus knew that the truth of his work of salvation on our behalf would be a scandal to humanity. The truth that you and I and no man can save himself or herself, that we are all reliant on God coming and doing the work for us. It's a great scandal to all of us who want to stand on our own two feet before God and rationalize ourselves before him. And it's for that pride and hubris that we have in our sinful natures and against God then and his wisdom over us that Jesus did undergo these ridicules and lies. The sham trial, the suffering, the conviction, and underwent death. This Lenten season is our time to particularly contemplate that God suffered such humiliation and abuse from his own creation in order to save this creation from itself, in order to save you and me from ourselves. For the Lord knows that you and I are sinners. He knows that we often act without wisdom. The Lord knows that we struggle with our sinful selves and what we just want and our own desire and take no interest in the wisdom of God for us. And for these many sins, each of us, myself included, need to repent and turn again and again to the salvation that Jesus gives to us. And the great miracle of all this is that all of those sins that we commit, they really are forgiven. That God really has mercy on our rejection and rebellion against him and his Son. That for all of our failures and faults, God still dearly loves you and me and all people. That he transforms us from sinners into his saints. That he calls our conscience into the conviction to live as his dear children over against the world that yet remains broken. And what we find as we are made his children in Jesus Christ, we find that life doesn't become a smooth ride, that our situation rarely gets better. Instead, we find that our moral dilemmas actually increase as God convicts us of his truth. Our understanding of our own sin increases. And as we interact with the world and try to bring the peace of Christ into it, instead of that peace kind of rubbing off on the world around us, instead it's met with antagonism and calumny. It's met with mean-spiritedness and rancor and ridicule. Jesus told his followers that they would be persecuted on his account. We see that persecution in our Passion narrative today. You see it carried out in the lives of the apostles after Jesus begins the church. We see it throughout the history of the church, actually, and all around us in the world today, and even on the increase in our own local communities here. And while we can get caught up in kind of a righteous indignation at the sins of the world, we must also be diligent and think that as we suffer under the world and under each other for what is truly right, that we make sure that we are right and that we are acting in accord with the wisdom and truth which God brings to us through his word. It's easy for us in our sins to lose sight of God's will and his truth and just get caught up in our own indignation. And so we have to learn and relearn from Jesus how to have humility, how to live as his people faithfully in this world of struggle and difficulty. And we must in that then also learn and relearn how to forgive one another as brothers and sisters in the faith, and even to forgive those who hate Jesus and so hate his children. And that's not done by our might. It's done instead by him acting in us and through us and for us toward the world. We pray that in our Lord's Prayer, in fact, that he would forgive, that we would forgive sins as he forgives and as we would forgive others, that it all combines together, that as God forgives, so we would too. And also then in prayer with intercessions for them, we also remember that Jesus can sympathize with all of these difficulties, with our plights and obstacles in our lives, because he's gone through it before us and is now with us through all of these difficulties in this life. And that he has in his resurrection actually conquered these hazards for you and me. In this Passion narrative and in this Lenten season, we recognize that the world mocks the faith and that we in our sins can easily stumble like so many in those texts and stumble away from that truth. And so we call on the Holy Spirit to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, that through all trials and tribulations that we face in this life, that we would be reconciled to one another as his dear children and have forgiveness for a world that is yet lost. May it be so in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Lenten worship service at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri on AM 850 KFUO. Our primary mission here at Peace is to proclaim the good news of God's love for all people in Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. We will have our Lenten Vesper worship service this evening at 6:15 p.m. Prior to the worship services, the Peace Youth will provide a Lenten supper to be served from 5 to 6 p.m. in the gymnasium. We will be presenting our 20th annual Living Last Supper worship service on Monday, Thursday, March 28th, at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. The setting is Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting, as the actors portray how the disciples may have responded when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." The chancel choir adds to the worship with various musical selections, and the service culminates with the celebration of Holy Communion. To make sure that we can seat everyone, you will need to contact the church office for free tickets at 314-892-5610. If you are looking for a church to attend, we have worship services at 8, 9:20, and 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. And for those who cannot attend on Sundays, we offer a worship service on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. Our early childhood program at Peace offers daycare, preschool, and parents' day out programs for children ages 14 months to 6 years old. We are also affiliated with Green Park Lutheran Elementary School and Lutheran High School South. Our weekly Sunday school hour on Sunday mornings is from 9:15 to 10:15 a.m. for ages 2 through adult. For more information about our church and educational programs, you can contact our church office from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at 314-892-5610.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost,
have mercy upon us.
Jesus, Son of the living God,
have mercy upon us.
Our spiritual deadness,
O Lord, forgive.
Our forgetfulness of others, especially of those who have never had the gospel preached to them.
O Lord, forgive
our wasted opportunities, our readiness to pass others by, our national and racial prejudices, and our own unchristian example at home and abroad. God of love, save your people
and bless your inheritance.
God of love, establish your kingdom in every land
and fill the earth with your glory.
We pray that your church may everywhere be found,
in snow or sand, hill or valley, jungle or field.
We pray for all mission workers, for evangelists and catechists, for pastors and teachers, for doctors and nurses.
Multiply the work of their hands.
We pray for those in our midst who confess not the name of Jesus, for all who have hardened their hearts, for all who have become careless, for all who have turned back, and for all who are Christian in name only.
Remember them, O Lord, and establish them in the truth of the gospel.
We pray for ourselves, that we may be charitable, and that by our example, those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death may be guided into the way of peace.
Turn us and grant us newness of life by your good Spirit, that your people may rejoice in you.
O Savior of the world, who by your cross and precious blood have redeemed us,
save us and help us, we humbly beseech you. Amen.
We further pray, Heavenly Father, for those in our midst who this day are undergoing medical procedures. We intercede especially for Naomi Zalowski and Bob Whistler. We also remember before you Robin McCutcheon, whose life appears to be in peril, that you would attend them according to their need. We also ask your comfort in behalf of the family of Brenda Zesch, age 57, who departed this life on Monday, and for whom services are scheduled for this coming Friday, that you would fortify and strengthen all who mourn during this time of loss. And these petitions we bring before you in the name of your Son, who has taught us also to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We may be seated for our hymn.
The congregation will now sing Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, hymn number 563 in Lutheran Service Book, 362 in Lutheran Worship, or 371 in the Lutheran Hymnal.
we rise. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us all.
The congregation will now sing verses 1 and 6 of Abide With Me, hymn number 878 in the Lutheran Service Book, 490 in Lutheran Worship, or 552 in the Lutheran Hymnal. Peace Lutheran Church is one of over 6,000 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God and the final standard for what we teach and how we live. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod supports mission work in many foreign countries and has partner churches worldwide. If you would like to contact Pastor Kastens or Pastor Ferguson, you can find their email addresses on our website at www.peacelutheranstl.org. Also available on the website is our weekly order of service. This can be downloaded prior to future services to enhance your worship experience. This now concludes the worship service at Peace Lutheran Church. We hope that you have enjoyed the worship service this morning and will join us again next Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. On behalf of engineer Dennis Gerfen, broadcast coordinator Alan Hopfer, and for all the pastors, staff, and members of Peace, I'm Christina Stackel. We wish you God's peace and the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.